contaminated. Do I? Should I trust you? Okay. Did you? Thank you.
I can replace this one.
Thank you. I don't even know what time it is. Okay, so I probably better get started. Hi, my name is Selena Deckelman. Just thought I'd make that clear in case you were expecting Greg Spina-Mullane giving this talk for him. He wasn't able to make it today. So this is about Power PSQL. So thank you. So Greg wanted to make the point that PSQL is something that a lot of developers with Postgres actually never even use, especially if you're more on the application side, working with drivers and things like that. But it's a very useful utility, has a lot of advanced functionality in it that you might never even know about. So how many here have ever used PSQL before? Everyone! Well then, I guess I don't have to make that point as strongly. despite it being super awesome, there are a few things that you need to kind of be aware of. One of those is that when you're using a newer version of PSQL and you try to connect to an older version of the database, it'll kind of complain at you, and sometimes some of the commands may not work. There's no way to really do loops or any kind of like programming language things that you might be used to with a driver, which can kind of be annoying. And also, when you're doing batch operations, some of the command line stuff that you might do with it, running things through pipes, kind of traditional Unix-y things, they kind of start looking pretty ugly. And I have some examples of that later on, even though they're very powerful and interesting features. So you've all used this utility before, so you're probably sort of familiar with this. We have the PSQL command, -h, -p, -d, -u. So just to quickly go over the basic command line options, so -h is host, or it can also actually be a socket, which is kind of cool. Greg and I worked on a utility for Perl that creates a temporary database, and instead of using a port, it uses a Unix socket. And so then you can have multiple test databases going on the same system without worrying about what port it's actually talking on. So there's -p, pgport. If you're specifying that. Oh, and PSQL determines whether or not you're talking to a server or the socket by the leading slash. So don't name a server with the leading slash. Well, you can't. But anyway, PG database, specify that with -d. PG user is with -U. And if you just run PSQL with no options, you'll see that first argument, if you don't specify -d, that'll be interpreted as the database, and then the second argument would be interpreted by the user. Just good to know in case you leave off one of those command line options, you might get some errors. So anyway, good to know. So when you're connecting, there are some variables that you can set. There are a variety of ways to set these variables, but just to quickly go over a couple useful ones. PGConnect timeout can be very useful when you're running something that you know may spiral out of control. So you're trying out some of those recursive queries, and you know maybe you want it to stop after a little while. You have to go get a cup of coffee. I don't know. Anyway, there are some good reasons to put a timeout on there, and you can. You can specify a password in your .psqlrc. That's better than specifying in the variable. It's not. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to talk about .psqlrc a little bit more later. There's also pgService. It's a variable that lets you specify where a pgService.conf file is. And so first of all, I'm going to first of all go over what you might put in a .pgpass file. So you can see here, this is just a file where you would be specifying your actual passwords if you wanted to not have to enter that every time you were logging into a database. So here you have your host, you have database, so that's a wildcard for any. Here's your username, and then your password. So that's pretty pretty standard text file kind of stuff. PGService.conf is kind of neat. So you can set it up so that you have a name that you just kind of make up. It can be anything. In this case, I chose ironic since we're in Canada, and maybe some of you have heard of Alanis Morissette. But anyway, you can set up your host name, your database name, the user, and of course, password, all in that same place. And then when you call PSQL, you can specify this on the command line, and that might clean up if you find yourself entering in these really, really long command line strings, which are no fun to type in and no fun to read. So you can just specify them like this.
Do you need the quotes?
I'm sorry?
Do you need the quotes?
Actually, I think you do. I'm not positive about that, but I can check later. So when you're setting up these files, one thing that is really good to do is just to be consistent in your ordering. If you start creating these files and changing them so that, say, you know, your port comes first and then your database comes next, and then you switch that around the next time you create the files, you just end up kind of in a world of hurt when you go back and try to, say, you know, write a program to parse those and things like that. So just do yourself a favor if you decide to use these features, and just be consistent about your ordering, be disciplined, and try to use variables or something that'll specify the order of those things ahead of time. So there's a lot of really great help. Yes? So by default, I think that PSQL will look in the current directory, and it may look somewhere else. Yeah?
.postgresql?
Dot.
In the home directory, in directory .postgresql.
Okay, yeah. So in your home directory or in .postgresql. So if you have any questions as I'm going through this, I'm sorry, I talk a little bit fast too, so please just stop and ask questions. So manpsql, there's a great man page for it. PSQL --help will give you your whole list of possible command line options. Once you're in PSQL, you can type /?/ or /h, and it'll give you a bunch more help. And then you can get really specific and start giving it, you know, a potential command that you want to. This would be an SQL command, but it'll try to provide you with details about what alter table actually the syntax for it is. It's a little nicer than using Google or something. So, tab completion. Let me scroll down to my notes. So if you're at all familiar with using Unix on the command line, if you're using something like a bash shell, one really useful thing is tab completion. Not only does it save you keystrokes, but it can help you find commands that you didn't know were there before. So basically how this works is you start typing something in, and then you hit tab, and then the interface will pop up, you know, a series of things that, you know, you might be thinking of typing in. In this case, it'll probably, see, if you're trying to do an update and set, well, anyway, I think this isn't a great example, but say you were doing something like an insert and you wanted a series of columns, it would actually try to provide you a list of potential columns that you would want to type in, which would save you a lot of typing if you had to do it right there. And so the point of this slide was basically to tell you a little bit about how tab completion works inside of Postgres. Basically, when you hit tab, this tab command.c uses readline to figure out what you've already typed in. And then it hits the system catalogs to try to find, you know, like I said before, those columns that you might be interested in typing in next. And then it passes it back to readline to format that in a nice way. So Greg has done a little bit of work on this. Actually, he's done a lot of work with this stuff, and he loves it when people submit patches. It's actually not very hard to do. So if you find something in there, you know, some readline functionality or just something related to the command line that you would like, you should check it out and maybe submit a patch. So the basic backslash commands, and have any of you come from, like, the MySQL world? There's a few people. Yeah. So the first time you fire up PSQL, how did you feel about that? Is that great? Did you try to type in show table? And then you hit a brick wall. Ouch. Yeah, so anyway, what you want to do is you want to check out these slash D commands. These pretty much provide all of the, you know, table information, indexes, schemas. Dash L will tell you your databases that are available in that cluster. This is what you want to have a look at. There's a lot of great, like I said before, if you use the interactive help, that'll show you most of what you need to know. But anyway, so yeah, slash D will just give you a list of tables. Slash DT does the same thing. Slash DF shows you functions. And in 8.4, slash DF will actually only show you the user-defined functions instead of all the system-defined functions altogether, which is pretty sweet. Let's see. Yeah, anyway, you can look at the documentation for these. One thing that that I like to do with my command line prompts is I really like to customize them to tell me a little bit more information about what's going on. Like I might put a timestamp or something so that if I, you know, start working on something on the command line, I know, you know, when I issue commands. So anyway, so this prompt can do things like that. And this is the definition. This is the default definition of the prompt. And here's what you'll get by default from Postgres when you log into PSQL. So there are three variables that you can define. By default, prompt 1 and prompt 2 are the same thing. Prompt 1 is what's shown like here, you know, which is when you logged in. Prompt 2 is what gets shown when you're kind of in the middle of a command, like if you start entering an SQL command but you don't put a semicolon at the end of it, you'll see a little bit different prompt. And then prompt 3 is what's shown, I think, for copy, and people pretty much don't ever modify that. So that's pretty weak sauce, right? Like this default prompt, it just says Postgres equals pound. It's not very exciting. So there's some pretty sweet stuff you can do with it. Actually, in the documentation, there's some great examples of how you might want to customize it out of the box. One thing that I do is something like this. So I have what I'm logged in as, what database I'm connected to, what my port is, and that's what server I'm connected to, what port, and then finally what database I'm actually connected to. There's a lot more stuff you can do with it. Like I said, some people like to have the date actually in there so you can see when, you know, what time you last, you know, made a change. And so it's this kind of standard like shell syntax where you just put in backticks and then you can throw, you know, whatever you want in there. It's kind of exciting. This right here is some syntax for variables. So if you have some kind of variable that you'd like to set in PSQL and you want that to appear in there, you can do that. There's percent tilde. So that is kind of a clever, you know, what database am I currently connected to? It'll actually change based on, you know, your username and what database you're connected to. If the database is the same as your username, it'll show a tilde instead of what database it is. You can actually just put in percent slash, and that'll always just show you the database name. That's probably a little better. Percent is just a literal percent. So you can get really crazy with this, right? You can go through and you can use ANSI colors. This is actually not accurate. It's not what this is, but this is an example from the documentation that'll change, I think, everything to maybe red. I forget what those. Does anybody here know the ANSI color codes off the top of their head? No? Okay. Good. So anyway, so you can go through and you can change like what every color of these things are. You can have it, you know, anyway, you can do lots of cool stuff.
Feel inclined to point out that my favorite aspect of the prompt variable, and this should be default at least in most situations, is that one of the prompt characters will change based on whether or not you're in the middle of a transaction.
Yeah, I'm going to show
really useful.
Show some examples of that. Yeah, it'll put like a dash, or you can change that. You can put like a star or something like that if you're in the middle of a transaction. Because one thing that you can do. I'm actually going to talk about auto-commit and stuff like that in a minute, too. Yeah, go ahead.
Within PSQL, is it possible to have syntax I like when you're typing out the command?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Sorry. That's fancy. So I kind of alluded to these variables, that percent, you know, colon, name, colon kind of thing. So you can set up variables that are expanded on your command line. Greg loves to do this. He's like the master of not only these types of variables, but also aliases, you know, in Bash and stuff like that. But anyway, here you can see you just set this variable to EA, and then all you have to do is prefix it with a colon and save you a little bit of typing if you know that you're going to be doing a lot of explain analyze. And then here's some more, like, fancier stuff that he's doing in there. Yeah, go ahead.
Are these quotes the back quote and the forward quote, or is that just something that you're...
You know, that was something that that OpenOffice did. Here, I just use plain quotes. Okay. Not smart. Yeah, not smart and not backticks. So speaking of setting of the variables, one thing that you can do is you can set your prompt to be alias to prompt one. It's kind of sweet, so that anytime that you change your prompt one, then it'll automatically be copied over to prompt two, essentially. So that's kind of nice because the two won't stay in sync when you set them by default. So it's kind of nice if you're going to go in there and hack on that. Yeah, because otherwise, once you start a transaction, it'll revert back to the old weak prompt that I showed earlier. So readline's pretty awesome. Like, I actually don't know that much about readline other than, you know, what, you know, I play around with in the shell. But there's, I guess, some really cool stuff that you can do with control characters and, like, automatically expanding things. I don't know too much about that. But Greg pointed me over to .inputrc, which is something that allows you to configure readline kind of the same way you might configure PSQL. So if you really want to get into it, you can set things up. If you don't like, so by default, there's Emacs bindings in PSQL, and so if you don't like that, you can set them to the VI bindings. I've actually never tried that. Have you? No. Has anybody here ever tried that? Yes. How do you like it?
If you're into VI, it's great.
Yeah. I love VI, but I don't know. I've just kind of been trained.
I love my shell that way, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You've got to be on your toes.
Yeah, I'm really, like, I used Emacs for a really long time, and I switched over to VI for editing, so, I don't know, I switch back and forth, but anyway, I still use the control thing. So, like, control R is, for those of you who aren't aware, it's like a reverse search. It's kind of convenient if you have, you know, PSQL will store a history of the commands that you were running, so you can use the up arrow, you know, by default if you got readline on. You can also do control R and search backwards. And I use that all the time, you know, especially for, you know, repetitive analyzes and selects and stuff. So anyway, so you can do all sorts of neat configuration there.
Selena?
Yeah?
So not to keep interrupting you.
Oh, no, it's cool. Interrupt,
those,
please.
Those who
take longer.
Question the value of readline need only spend a little while with Oracle and SQL+, and you will quickly learn to love the presence of readline. just the ability to hit an up arrow and go back to a previous command is
yeah.
Something you quickly miss.
And not having to, you know, cut and paste. I don't know. I only have one screen, so I can't have my text editor open in one screen and... display and but yeah, no, readline's awesome. And it is, I think this is by default the BSD readline, so I don't know if that matters to most people. So yeah, I don't know what that was about. Okay, so how many of you are familiar with autocommit? You know what it does? Yeah. Okay, one person. All right, well, then I will explain. So autocommit, by default, if you don't turn it off, so say it's on, to start and end a transaction, you need to say begin. And that tells the command line that you are starting a transaction, you're going to enter in a series of commands, and then it shouldn't commit anything until you're done. You tell it either commit or rollback. So it's an example of performing a transaction. And you can see right here what Josh was talking about. When you start the transaction, the way that you see that is there's this little star that shows up. And so then as you're going through, it'll keep that star in there no matter how many commands that you run until you say either rollback or commit. And then at the end, once you say rollback, you go back to a normal prompt. It's kind of nice, gives you a little indication of where you're at. So if you set autocommit to off, then if you enter in this delete command, that gets committed, then it is not going to be committed right away. You didn't have to say the begin, so that's kind of nice. So by default, you'll always kind of be in this transaction mode when you're using this. And so that earlier slide that was about the .psqlrc, you can actually set this autocommit status in there, so that configuration will be saved every time you're using the command line. So that's kind of nice. So you don't have to remember to always set it off. One thing that's kind of annoying about autocommit, though, is if you make a typo, and I type really fast and I make lots of typos, you'll get something like this. You go through, you delete the next ID, and then error, syntax error, sorry. And now you get this exclamation point. And you try to enter in another command, and it says, sorry, I'm not going to help you out anymore. You are going to have to roll back before you do anything else. So there's this sweet command here, on error rollback on. If you make a syntax error, it'll just roll back this particular command and let you continue entering in other commands. So for those who are typo prone, this is awesome. So now you can see on error stop. This one, sorry. I thought there was going to be one more slide. Sorry. let's see. On error stop on. Do you remember this one?
Yes, but I don't remember the first of that slide. Okay, so on error stop should stop running if you have a multi statement transaction.
Ah.
It's a script.
In a script, for example.
Yeah.
It stops running the script on error.
Yeah, I think this slide just must be wrong. That's why I was looking at the example. I was like, eh. So sorry, on error stop. I'll look that up later. Eh?
We blame Greg.
Yeah, I blame Greg. Because he's not here. Haha. Okay, so another thing that you can do, you know, going back to this prompt one stuff, is maybe that asterisk isn't enough. Maybe you have bad eyesight. I don't know. But sometimes it's not real obvious that you're in the middle of a transaction. So when you set that autocommit on, so it starts a transaction for you every single time. So if you don't log out of that session or roll back, that transaction is going to stay open. And so that can have lots of different effects that you might not want. But you know, if you really want to make sure that you know that you've just left a transaction open, you can change your prompt so that it tells you lots of times where you're at. That's what that %x does. See, is there anything else in there? No. Here's an example. So this program called Check Postgres is out there. It's something that you can use to monitor your database. One of the things that you can monitor is how long you've had an open transaction that's idle hanging out there. This would tell you, you know, if you've left that transaction open for a really long time.
Is that idle or idle in transaction?
Idle in transaction, yeah. Yeah, idle. Yeah, not as helpful. So you can change the pager, which pager you use. So by default on my system, I think it uses less, but on some systems it may be more. So you can set that and maybe set some command line options for highlighting or whatever. So that's when you say you run a select and you have, you know, 1,000 rows that come back. You can tell it how you want to handle that output on your display. That's kind of nice. And these are Greg's recommended SFX recommended options. Okay, so another reason why you might use the command line is because you want to take a look at the information schema. So slash D, we already talked about a little bit. Another thing that you can do that I use actually a lot is dash capital E. And so what that shows you that shows you all of the SQL that the system runs internally to interrogate the information schema. It can be really helpful if you're trying to find something like you're like, how the heck does Postgres figure out what the names of all of the tables are? Or how is it figuring out, you know, what the, in 8.4 it'll show you like what the, I think it'll show you the size of a database. You know, how is it figuring that out? So then you can see, you know, exactly what that SQL is and copy and paste it and, you know, do something with it without having to read the source, which is awesome. So one thing that I actually often have to do is take a series of tables and, you know, drop them after I've created them. And there's not really a great way to just pull out, you know, a couple tables, you know, from like a dump output, a schema dump. So one thing that you could do is use the system tables, ask them, you know, ask PG class, you know, where these tables are that match this regular expression, and then relkind R, which you just have to know from looking at the information schema and know that you would have to use that. But then you can have it output some SQL. So then you can use dash O, which means output a file, and here's a file name. So at that point, it opens a file called droptestingtables.sql. You can do slash G, which I believe that executes the last successful command, and then dash O or slash O again, which closes the file. So that's pretty sweet, right? So then, actually, don't think I'd use bang here, but anyway. Oh, no. So this is, okay, so this right here, slash bang, less drop testing tables.sql, that actually executes a command in the shell. So now you're going to review, of course, your output before doing something with it. So that would just open up the page or let you see what's in there. And then once you exit that, then you set on error stop so that it actually doesn't continue through the file all the way if there's an error. And then you start a transaction. Since because we have transactional DDL, you can actually roll back these drop table statements. Which, did you all know that? You can roll back drop table? Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Okay. And then right here, this last thing that you can do right here is slash I. And so what that just says is read in that SQL, execute it in the current environment. And then he didn't add the commit there at the end, but have a commit. So yeah, so that's pretty cool. So whenever you do stuff like this, where you do like the slash O output things, find that useful? Yeah, yeah, you do it all the time. Okay. So one thing that I often do with Postgres is I set up short little monitoring runs. So say I want to know, you know, what's going on PGstat every, you know, 3 minutes for a particular table, and maybe I'm searching for a particular query that's coming up. And so one thing that I'll often do is set up these cron jobs that will run PSQL on the command line over and over again. And so this is Greg's little mnemonic for a default set of parameters that are helpful. AxQT. Yeah. So anyway, so this is kind of an example of the type of cron jobs that we'll set up to run some of these commands. And basically, it's a quiet mode. T, I think, I have to look it up, sorry.
T is tuples only.
Tuples only, yeah. You all know this off the top of your heads. Yeah, so you don't read the startup file, it's the PSQLRC. And then slash A, dash A, is unaligned table output mode so that you don't get extra spaces and things like that in the output that you might not want to have to parse. And so this is just an example. You know, I'm running a function here and passing it a parameter, and I'm just running that every 5 minutes in cron. And so it's kind of nice to set things up this way where you have a shell variable in cron, and then you just reference it there so you don't have to repeat that every time. And then if you just need to change one thing about that, like say you need to add a database name or a host or something like that, you just change it at the top. It's kind of nice. Oops. Maybe this doesn't work anymore. That helps. Okay. And so, yeah. So here's an example. Sorry, some of these slides are not totally clear. Oh, okay. So one thing about cron is that it will actually send you an email by default when you set it up. So if you just run this command without anything, that was what the point of this was. So when you pipe this through WC, you see you get right here. I don't know if you're familiar with WC. It's a counting program on the command line. So you'll see you get one right here, which means you get one line. So in order to avoid that, that one line will send you an email every time this command is executed. You might get tired of that. So one way that you can like work around that is just pipe it to Perl or you know some other program that will check what the output is. And in this case, Perl is just matching it to a new line. And then if it, you know, if it matches a single new line, then just get rid of it. Don't, you know, don't send me an email every time this program executes. So here we're getting really crazy. I don't know that I don't know if I totally recommend doing this every time, but it's kind of nice to have little recipes like this. These slides will be posted up, so you don't need to copy this down or anything. But it's kind of nice to have recipes like this when you want to do some monitoring kind of quickly. Inserting, and this right here, it inserts data back into a table. So say you had like some auditing routine that's happening, and then you want to pipe it back into PSQL and execute it. You know, you could do something like this just inside of cron. Yeah, yikes. I agree. So one thing I wanted to talk about is in 8.4, there are a ton of cool new features. And this was my cheat sheet here, but I wanted to go through them all because there's a couple really cool ones. One that I really like that I was annoyed about for a really long time. So 8.4 has /ef. So /e on the command line, if you type that in, it'll automatically pull the last command that you executed up in a buffer for you to edit. So that's kind of nice. You just, you know, repeat queries over and over again and just kind of edit little things. /ef actually lets you edit a function, which is very convenient. Because before, you would have to, you know, maybe dump the DDL out, you know, maybe have that in a separate buffer, copy and paste it, you know, whatever. Now you can just edit it inside of PSQL. It's really nice. So wrap. So I guess there's better intelligent wrapping on your screen. Sometimes that can get kind of messy, so that looks a little bit better. /L+. I was talking about this earlier that, you know, a database, you might want to see what the size is. They actually included a command. So if you type in /L+, it'll tell you your database size. /W, it'll never prompt you for a password and just error out if that's a problem. I guess there's backwards compatibility all the way to 7.4 now, which previously 8.3 and earlier it was kind of a problem, but now it'll actually fire up and not error out. I guess it's not fully tested, so we could use a little more testing with that if you've got an earlier version of Postgres. So try it out and let us know if there's a problem. Sorry? Yeah, well. Yes, please. So let's see. Oh, table. So this is a funny one. I think Peter implemented this, didn't he? Peter's in here. Yeah. Yeah, Peter implemented this. So in the SQL standard, there's this command table, which is basically /select*from. So that's in there now. So it's a shortcut. It's kind of silly, but you know, time saver if you're doing that a lot. So /d, says up here, sequence. Sequence right here. /d plus the sequence name will actually now tell you what the size of the sequence is. So instead of having to do like a /select* on the sequence name, it'll just tell you right there. It's pretty cool. There was a very, very long thread on hackers about this. So /df(S) and /df(U). So /df, that shows you the names of all of the functions, and prior to 8.4, it would show you all of the system-defined functions first, which a lot of times is not really what you're interested in. You're more interested in those user-defined functions, stuff that you created or your application created in the system. So now by default, it'll only show you the user-defined functions unless you give it a capital S, and that took about 200 emails to settle on. So... timing was another one. I think David Fetter worked on that. Not sure. So before, timing was just a toggle. So if you hit /timing, you have to say /timing again to get it on or off. Now you can actually say on or off. bunch of tab completion improvements. And I think that's it. Yeah. Oh, there's a backgrounding of a connection right here, but I don't think it got committed, so. So anyway, oop. Do-do-do. That's it. Yeah, that's all I got. Does anybody have any questions?
Yay, Greg.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Greg has done a ton. I'm really sad that he wasn't able to be here. He's done a ton of work on PSQL just in general over the last, you know, several years. And, yeah, so he continues to do work on it, and it's pretty cool. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you move back to the slide with the new features?
Yeah.
And actually, you mentioned the something about wrap.
Yeah.
Could you explain that? Because I don't even know what that is.
Oh, what the wrapping is? Just more intelligent. I think it's just calculating.
Wrapping,
yeah. I think he put. Oops,
wrapping
sorry.
With a
you
w.
Probably don't. Yes, wrapping with a W.
What the hell is that? A cool feature in PSQL that turns your office. That would be cool, but
yeah, that would be sweet. Let's see. How does this? Now that I look here, there we go. I didn't realize it was going there. Well, anyway, so now you get to see my Finder output. But anybody else? I kind of blazed through that pretty quick. It's late in the day, right? It's time to go to the party. Yeah. You're all going to the party, right? What'd you say?
Give us another of Greg's talks.
Yeah. We can now do the magic of MVCC. No, just kidding. There's a video. You can all watch it. But yeah, so thank you, everybody, for hanging out, and I hope that's helpful. Now I will take all of this off.
This one is for
sweet.